Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The House today passed a bill to suspend the federal debt ceiling until May 19th. 33 Republicans voted against the measure, which now heads to the Senate for approval. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told reporters earlier today that he'll encourage fellow Democrats to support the legislation.
We will not hold the full faith and credit of the United States hostage. We will pay the bills that we have incurred.
There is one part of the bill that Reid does not like. It's a provision that requires Congress to pass a budget by the time the debt limit is reached again. Failure to do so would result in lawmakers having to forfeit their congressional pay. Reid did not say whether he'll try and modify the bill or pass it as is. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton faced some tough grilling from Senate Republicans over her role in the September Benghazi attacks.
Had I been president at the time and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Democrats weren't as tough on Clinton, who will soon retire from office. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, do we have connectivity now? Seems like we are having some technical issues here.
Yeah, Chris, come on. It's Giles.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. We were having a little bit of technical difficulties there, and I think we're on now. I was seeing some comments in the chat. Anyway, let me reintroduce you here. Sorry about that, folks. We have a great guest tonight with us on the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.com. He is a regular contributor to townhall.com. He owns lots of guns and is not afraid to talk about it. He calls out liberals the way he sees it without any regret. So we have Doug Giles, and thank you for putting up with that there for a minute, Doug. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Pretty awesome. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. I'm smoking a cigar and drinking a martini and talking to Warrior Catholic Radio. It can't get much better.
I suppose not. All right. So this week, we've already had a big week. You know, we had President Obama was inaugurated again on Monday. And also on the day of Martin Luther King Jr.'s national holiday, we had the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade on Tuesday. Things are getting crazy around here.
Yeah, I'm surprised the ground didn't part in D.C. and everybody tumble into it. I hate to have missed that inauguration, but I was actually watching the paint drying channel, and I was also reading the manual operation for the hinge during the inauguration.
Wow, you know, that sounds a lot more interesting than anything else was going on. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, it's a weird day, man. You know, I agree with Krauthammer that, you know, it looks like we're waving bye-bye to the Reagan era, and we're giving a big wet kiss with butt-smacker lip balm to big government liberalism, and I just wonder how long America is going to tolerate this stuff, when they're going to wake the hell up, and we can get back to this free market, small government, God bless experiment and self-governance instead of this Euro-socialist swill that we're embroiled deeply into.
Absolutely. So in the next, the last 4 years were absolutely disastrous. What do you think the next four are going to be like?
Well,
he's totally unbridled now. He can do anything he wants.
Yeah, I'm thinking Zimbabwe. I mean, he's got that kind of that Mugabe thing going and stuff. So I can't see it getting any better, man. I mean, and, you know, I hate to rag on the guy and, you know, wish him well. But, you know, from an economist standpoint, from a national security standpoint, as you brought up the Roe v. Wade type stuff, all the things that America has been founded upon that has made us great, it seems like they have very little regard for. So going to be the longest 4 years probably of my life. This must be, Chris, what it feels like to be married to a chick that you want to get divorced from.
Oh, absolutely. I would imagine.
This has got to be what the last 4 years of Tom Arnold's relationship with Roseanne must feel like. And Tom, if you're listening to Warrior Catholic Radio, man, you know, God bless you. I can't believe you endured it. Pray for us, because you probably can empathize with the junk that we are feeling right now. Emotionally draining.
Absolutely. I mean, we got the whole gun thing going on. And, you know, this week, though, you know, we got the March for Life on Friday. And, of course, the media is probably only going to focus on the three protesters that are actually there. How do you think the pro-life movement is going to hold up, you know, coming along now? I mean, they came out with that HHS mandate, which is totally going against religious freedom. How can we fight this battle, do you think?
I don't know. Let me put it to you this way. I was at a meeting last night of conservatives, and I really like the guy who hosts it. His wife's charming, great people, conservative up and down socially, economically, militarily. There are a lot of numbnuts in that crowd. They wanted to hijack the conservative movement, and they were prattling on and on about how we need to start eschewing the socialist or the social conservative issues like gay marriage and abortion, because, you know, they're oh so yesterday, and we need to become more hip and groovy. And it's like, listen, if our nation ever gets killed with the liquidation of 50 plus million innocent children to where that's a non-issue, then again, I've got a problem with that kind of party. I've got a problem with that kind of people, where you can off. I mean, look at what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. You got 20 kids, you know, 6 and 7 year olds, horrible massacre. You know, the nation comes to a grinding halt. People want to amend the Constitution for these kids that were mowed down by this jackass, Adam Lanza. And here we have every day around, 3,800 innocent lives taken by abortion, higher than any other cause. And this sad fact is known by, as you pointed out, Chris, by so few. It's rarely reported on by the media. And if it is, it's always pitched that, you know, they find the one or two lone abortion clinic bombers, or those who kill, you know, an abortionist or something, and they paint us and pitch it in that light. So I don't want to live in a nation that does not cherish and protect the most vulnerable. And that's the little bun in the oven. And I think if we get as conservatives, quote unquote, to where we're blowing off, you know, the sacrosanct life of the unborn kid, and we're saying that Brad and Chad is just as good as Doug and Mary Margaret in regards to matrimony, then I think we're on Bon Scott's highway to hell. That's what I think.
No, I definitely agree. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the media. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and God's going to have to apologize to Sodom.
I wouldn't like to be there for that apology. It's funny you mentioned the media and how they, you know, they've been really the political arm of Obama at this point. But, you know, folks, I'd like to point out, don't let the liberal media convince you that conservatives like us are in the minority. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. If you respect American history and traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's called the traditionalamericanmovement.com. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. Hope to see you there soon. Now, with your own writings, Doug, I'm sure you get lots of, interesting responses to what you've been saying. Has anyone actually tried to shut you down or censor you in any way?
Now, my editor over at Town Hall, the general editor, John Garthwaite, you know, he's completely cool with me. He gets me, you know. I got on steel-toed combat boots. I'm not subtle. I don't come in there and gently try to persuade. You know, I've got a Paul Bunyan-sized axe I want to grind against those who I think are derailing our nation. Of course, I always have the detractors, and it would be a sad day if I didn't piss somebody off on a regular basis. And, you know, that's what makes, and that's what I dig about, you know, old America and classic politics, is that you didn't have the political correctness where everybody had to fly 6 inches off everyone's taste wing and not deviate one angstrom because we might upset somebody. I mean, it was a robust nation where debate and arguing and throwing down and all that kind of stuff is part and parcel, again, that yielded up this insane experience in self-governance. And when that kind of mitigation of speech, even speech you radically and fundamentally disagree with, starts to be verboten, then again, I think we're probably a couple of years out before we all put on frickin' brown outfits and start jackbooting around some moron in D.C. And I'm not going to live like that. It's not going to happen to me. And I don't know what all that entails in that little screed, but I'm not going to live as a slave to anybody, period.
No, that's definitely not what the founding fathers were thinking of when they framed the Constitution and whatnot. It's Obama. Did you catch his inauguration speech at all? I tried to ignore it on the day of.
I'm telling you, Chris, I don't watch that. I you couldn't pay me to watch it. I've saw snippets when people are, you know, showing it on news and stuff and on the internet.
Yeah.
And I go over and watch a hunting video. I go over and watch, Millionaire Matchmaker, you know, something that's a little bit more moral, like Desperate Housewives of St. Louis or something like that. I don't want to – I cover his lies. I cover his haberdashery. I cover his smoke and mirrors, his cloak and dagger stuff day in and day out. you know, I don't want to see 2 hours of this nonsense. Again, I'm just biding my time. I just hope I don't have too much gray hair by the end of his second term, because I still want to look good as we take this nation back to its founding roots and we embrace, you know, constitutional fidelity, and we get this nation back on track to where, again, we're not looking up China's backside and borrowing money, you know, against our grandkids' future.
Absolutely. Well, we got to take a quick break, but folks, don't go away. More with Doug Giles right after this. Now, let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservative for real conservatives.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. We have Doug Giles on the line with us, awesome author and a contributor to townhall.com, gun owner, patriot, and proud American. So, Doug, speaking of guns, what's your take on all this hoopla going on right now?
I think if your normal American dude who doesn't own a paramilitary rifle, who likes to hunt and shoot squirrels and put some venison in the freezer, if he thinks that Obama is and his ilk are just after these scary AR-15s and AK-47s and SKSs, that they're not the coldest beer in the fridge. The left, period, Chris. The left, they hate guns. They don't want. They think that only the police, only the military should own them. They want to do away with them. So I would tell I tell your listeners first and foremost, you know, don't listen to Cuomo when he says that, you know, we don't want to take, you know, the hunting guns. And Obama, when he says, you know, we want to make sure you have a shotgun, you can kill a rabbit, you can eat it for dinner, you can invite your friends over, we're not after that. Listen, they're boiling the frog slowly. So they, you know, Fast and Furious didn't work. That was an abysmal disaster because people started rocking up dead with the weapons that Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice and straight up to Obama made sure that Mexican drug cartels got. And that thing was foiled when all of a sudden Brian Terry, a Border Patrol agent, winds up dead, and they find the guns that our federal government forced gun store owners to sell to these gun runners. So they've got to take another incident like the Newtown Massacre, stand on the graves of children, and then enact, again, an assault weapons ban, which, by the way, the first assault weapons ban that occurred under Clinton's administration and floated on into Bush's for 10 years from 94 to 2004, if you look at the history of school shootings, they spiked during that time period, that little 10-year epic. Columbine occurred during it, 30 different school massacres and shooting and 9 different workplace violence, plus the Murrow Building bombing and 9/11 all occurred during the assault weapons ban. It doesn't work because here's the reason why, Chris. Criminals, they just don't obey the law.
Absolutely, but you know, you're citing all these facts. I mean, come on, liberals don't want to hear about facts. What are you doing here?
No, and it's I know you're being cheeky and stuff, but you know, the splooged brain media type person that's sitting, you know, eating Papa John's pizza right now, watching American Idol, they're driven by emotion, and that's where the left, you know, is so adept at changing policy, because they get something as horrific as the Newtown Massacre, they trump it up. Dianne Feinstein's ready to you know, propose legislation before the children's dead bodies even cool off, and they see all these things, like Rahm Emanuel said, they see all these crises, and they don't allow them to go to waste. But you know what? It's a Bill of Rights. I tell people all the time, like, do you need a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle? It's like, no. Do you need an iPhone, numbnuts? I don't think so. Do you need a Corvette? No, but it's America, damn it. And that's what makes us a great nation. It's not the Bill of Needs. It's the Bill of Rights. And if I want a weapon that the military has, then you know what? I can have that, because our founding fathers – understood that if they didn't have the wherewithal to stave off the King Georges that were out there, then they were screwed, glued, and tattooed. And that's why they, with foresight, penned, you know, that Second Amendment into our Bill of Rights to keep these bastards at bay should they go nutty and think that they're going to come in and overreach and oppress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of liberals like to get scared of that notion. Well, it's not about, you know, holding off tyranny. It's all about clinging to guns and religion and, you know, whatever Obama said on the, you know, 08 campaign trail. But, it, you know, it really is kind of scary when you see them leaping like this. Like you said, before the bodies had even cooled off, they had that gleam in their eye. And now's our chance to seize the – now's our chance to do something, you know, to get the guns away from people. And that's kind of a chilling thought to me anyway.
Yeah, that's what I believe. It's what the Brits tried in Lexington and Concord, and you know, it didn't fare too well with them. And I'll tell you what, man, America gets it. Gun sales are through the roof. I went over to cheaperthandirt.com and midwayusa.com, which are probably the biggest online ammunition sales stores on the net and stuff. And the little 22 bullet, Chris, that, you know, that we popped squirrels and shot birds and rabbits with when we were youngins, you cannot find one box of 22 ammunition on these huge, massive ammunition warehouses. Not one box. They're all gone. And I'll propose this. This is a strange day because I'm 50 years old. I've been kicking dirt on this pebble for half a century. There's never been a time in my life where you could not get a hold of a box of 22 shells in American history, period. So our people get it. If they want to see clinging to guns and God, then they're going to see it. And if they think that we're going to go quietly in the night like the dipsticks in Russia did, that the goofballs in Germany did, that the Chinese did before Mao Zedong, that the Guatemalans, you know, and the list goes on and on, they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. It will be a full-on civil war if they go for the gun grab. Guaranteed.
Doug, it looks like we have a caller on the line for you. Let's bring him on. We have Liberal 141 on the line. How you doing? Thanks for calling in.
How are you? Oh, you go again with the gun thing.
I'm sorry. We have a really bad connection.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead. You're
okay.
On the Doug Giles.
Here we go again with the gun thing. I'm sorry. President Obama did take your Second Amendment. He just made me more sick.
And if you need a gun to have fun with it, I don't see no point of having a gun to have fun with it. But that's a personal issue. If you want to have a gun, have a gun. But you don't need to have a gun automatic. You don't need to have a gun that fucking shoots 100 bullets. And I'm sorry, I trust you. If you're crazy enough to think guns are fun, if you're crazy enough to get mad at anything that makes you mad a little bit, I don't know what kind of person you could be. I have no proof that you could be a decent, like a lot of people can say, we're decent people. That doesn't prove anything. You're good. You could kill 100 person by one shot. I'm sorry, I'm not going to give power to just anybody, especially not a citizen.
Well, thanks for your call, Doug. What you got?
Well, I couldn't really hear him. My connection was really bad, or his was, or something. I just heard it. You don't need a. Listen again. It's the Bill of Rights, dude. It's not the Bill of Needs. And this whole thing of, oh man, you don't need a gun with a 30 round magazine or first of all, I'd tell your caller, I don't have any of that stuff. I'm a hunter. I have bolt actions. I have lever actions. I've got double rifles. I've got side-by-side shotguns. I am not stockpiling for a Branch Davidian hoedown. However, when the government tells me what I can and cannot do, I don't want to live underneath that kind of government. Majority of the gun owners in America, and Chris, you know this, they're law-abiding people.
Absolutely.
The thing that happened with Newtown, the thing that happened with Aurora, the thing that happened with Gabby Giffords is you got these lunatic sons of bitches that are crazy, that are loaded on Paxil and Xanax and all kinds of other crap, that the majority of them are Democrats. If this guy wants to talk about assault weapons and we don't need this, the majority of the people that have been killed in the United States, and this is FBI statistics, have not used quote-unquote assault weapons or semi-automatic rifles. They've used handguns. They've used hammers. They've used clubs. We've reported on it day in and day out on ClashDaily.com. And this whole thing, we're going to ban, you know, AR-15s. They're the devil's rifle. You know, the majority of the stuff happens with gangbangers, with revolvers, with hunting guns that they're using in their crappy neighborhoods, in their Democratic cities that overwhelmingly voted for Obama, and most of them are in gun-free zones. It's insane to punish law-abiding citizens for what these numbnuts who are breaking the law, who the majority of them have been let out of jail too soon, and the recidivist rate of gun violence is through the roof. So don't talk to me about what I should have and what I shouldn't have. Uphold the law. Make sure that parents parent their kids and quit giving your damn children Paxil and all this other kind of mind-altering dope.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Even if we appreciate all calls, even if you don't agree with the subject matter, still love to hear from you. So anyway, we've got about 2 minutes up until the break, Doug. So, again, thanks for being on the show tonight. Hopefully we can, move this thing forward, gather conservatives around and, actually unite and stand up to what we got coming down the pike.
Chris, if you don't speak out, man, if I don't speak out, then this thing is going to turn into a flipping nightmare. So stand strong, buddy.
Yeah, you too. And, you guys check out, Doug Giles at ClashDaily.com. He's got some great stuff. So Doug, again, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was great to have you.
Yeah, man. Stay rowdy.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show. We just had Doug Giles on, and you can hear he's a spirited fellow and not afraid to speak his mind. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about abortion and some of the surrounding issues that I feel and are kind of that branch out from abortion and the abortion mentality and the fact that it's been enshrined in our nation, and it's pretty sad. So don't go away. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higg and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.com. If you want to be a part of the show, please call in at 718-305-7176. As I mentioned before, it's definitely been a action-packed week. We had Obama, the president, sworn in, inaugurated, coronated. I like the term that Rush Limbaugh uses, immaculated. He's been set in power for another 4 years, so yay. Isn't that wonderful? So with that in mind, that was also on the day of Martin Luther King Jr.'s national holiday. So isn't that kind of interesting that he chose that day out of all of them to be inaugurated again? So, but then the day after that, and the topic for this next segment was the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the notorious Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion across the land. Now, there have been over 40 million abortions in America since then, and it has led to a Holocaust in this nation. And I don't use that word lightly, but it has been a Holocaust, a massive swath of destruction that has swept across our nation, and it has crippled us spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, all these things that maybe we don't think about so much, but it is doing damage to our soul of the nation. And this Friday is the March for Life in Washington, D.C. There have already been other localized marches in different cities that have drawn, you know, thousands of people. And the big one, though, is this Friday in D.C. when everyone's going to converge on the Capitol. And I think it is such a powerful, moving event. You see all the youth, the young people there, the high schoolers, the college students, all of them, and marching against this brutality that we've allowed to come into our country. And to see that is truly inspiring, that maybe there's hope after all. But it's really sad that 40 years now we've had legalized abortion, and it hasn't led to any of the so-called promises or things that were predicted would happen, at least by those who promote abortion. It really has just been a terrible, terrible plague on our country, abortion. And the reason why I say that is because when we don't value the essence and the dignity of the human being that is inherent in every person, we cannot function as a society. It is the bedrock of who we are and what we do. If we don't respect human life and the dignity of every person, how can we have just laws that respect and honor that dignity and uphold it? We have a law now that allows us to kill a baby that is developing in a mother's womb at almost at any point. I mean, sure, later term abortions, there are people that do it, and there are different laws about it in different states. But it's really, it has really been a total disservice, because now we have this mentality in our country that people are expendable. And maybe legally you can't, we don't have legalized infanticide or anything like that, but because of abortion, we can now view people as expendable, as objects. Because if we can, I mean, sure, we might decide to keep a child, or now we can legally decide to kill an unborn child, but all people now become less human because of our legal system allowing abortion. Now, there were a lot of promises that came out of abortion that the those who were promoting it made, and this is out of thepublicdiscourse.com. It's called Abortion Promises Unfulfilled. It says, 40 years after Roe versus Wade, the promise that legal abortion would guarantee fewer out-of-wedlock births, less child abuse, and lower crime rates remains unfulfilled. That's a strong statement. It says, in the 1960s and 70s, abortion advocates used a variety of arguments to advance their cause. Some emphasized women's liberty and autonomy. Others tried to persuade people that easy access to abortion would benefit society as a whole. There are two quotations that they use. From NARAL in 1978, a policy that makes contraception and abortion freely available will greatly reduce the number of unwanted children and thereby curb the tragic rise of child abuse in our country. How can we curb child abuse when we're allowed to kill them at the same time before they're even born? How does that make sense? You got an opinion? Call in 718-305-7176. The next quote is again from NARAL co-founder Larry Lader in 1974. He says, the impact of the abortion revolution may be too vast to assess immediately. It should usher in an era when every child will be wanted, loved, and properly cared for. That is so backwards. I can't even begin to look into it. I mean, so we're going to love only the ones that we allow to live. What if a woman can't afford an abortion and the child gets born anyway? I mean, that doesn't fit that framework right there, does it? So every child, I mean, that's a nice, again, here we have liberals with nice lofty rhetoric. Who out there doesn't want every child to be wanted, loved, and properly cared for? I don't think you'll find too many people advocating for, or at least openly advocating for, child abuse. But if we're going to do that through offering people the option of killing their unborn children, that doesn't sound very loving or wanted or properly caring for a child now, does it? They also argued, the abortion advocates, that it would result in fewer out-of-wedlock births and less child abuse, and would ensure that every child was wanted. Over time, these arguments lost credibility because neither out-of-wedlock births nor child abuse was decreasing. So we have exactly the opposite happening of what these abortion advocates, these early abortion advocates, were throwing out there in high and lofty terms. So you have in the early 2000s, Stephen Levitt from the University of Chicago and John Donahue of Yale University published a study in the Quarterly Journal of Economics titled "The Impact of Legalized Abortion on Crime." And it claimed that legal abortion unexpectedly lowered crime rates in many American cities during the 1990s. Groups supporting abortion rights generally distanced themselves from this argument, fearing its eugenic implications. Though the findings have received some widespread credibility because of Levitt's popular book Freakonomics, they may have been much criticized by other academics. Now, in this whole article, it goes on for a long ways, talking about how it discusses abortion and out-of-wedlock births, which continued to rise even though the number of abortions was increasing, but so was the out-of-wedlock birth rate. I mean, you can see that around in my neck of the woods here. I'm in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, and there are, I mean, there's like this whole group, like younger, late teenage girls, early 20s, are getting pregnant and having babies and not seeing anything wrong with that. Even some of them talking, oh, I've always wanted a baby. Now, it might be good when someone decides to keep that baby, but there's a deeper cultural issue when we are encouraging young women to be having babies without the support of, oh, say, a husband or anything else. But getting back to abortion, it says here, when abortion became legal, a sexually active woman who did not want to bear children had the option of terminating her pregnancy. Now, it also changed social and sexual mores. When abortion became easily available as a backup option, women as well as men became less careful about using contraceptives and more likely to engage in pre- and extramarital sex. This increase in sex outside marriage further weakened social taboos regarding sex before marriage, resulting in even more sexual activity. Men who impregnated women faced considerably less social pressure to marry. So basically, when abortion is easily available, it's a cheap escape for men. It's all about women's rights here, but it is a cheap and easy out for a guy who doesn't have to take responsibility. I mean, how many movies or in real life have we seen that the man very, very honorably there say, oh, well, I'll take you to the clinic. I'll be there for you. What a guy. What a man. But he's sure fulfilling his responsibility. So abortion, I mean, and then with all this, you know, with extra sexual activity, you know, ballooning throughout the United States, that leads to the, you know, STDs all over the place. I mean, some of the statistics are scary. I don't have them in front of me right now, but whenever I read about the proliferation of sexually transmitted diseases, it is terrifying. You know, there is so much stuff out there, but people don't seem to care because we want what we want when we want it. Now, abortion also, it devalues children. It increases the hostility between the generations. Increases guilt and self-hatred, which the parent takes out on the child. It increases hostile frustration, intensifying the battle of the sexes for which children are scapegoated. So all this stuff about, oh, it's going to bring we're going to love children and want them. How can a woman love one child when she's guilty over the abortion of another? Now, conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central. Carl is the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told those guys in the White House not to mess around with Navy SEALs. Oops. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So we're talking about abortion and how it has totally wrecked the United States, how it has destroyed the ability to see children as anything but the gifts from God that they are, and it allows us to conveniently kill them when it is not something that we want to deal with. And that is really sad. It is, you know, when abortion, especially when abortion becomes just another form of contraception, now that's even worse. Oh, we can just go, oh, accidentally got pregnant, let's go kill the child. I'm purposely not talking about, I mean, everyone says, well, what about exceptions for rape and incest and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not going to get into that right now. I'll get into it a little later. Right now I'm talking about the abortion mentality, the idea that if things go wrong, it's still okay to kill your child and that it's somehow not going to be damaging for the woman and for even the father of that child. How many fathers out there are hurting because they've lost their ability, their chance to be a father to a child? You know, being a dad's an awesome thing. So I got to take a quick break here, but when we come back, there will be more on this. I've got a lot more news stories on this to get to, and So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I'm Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. Because this week was the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade that legalized abortion across America, I'm taking a lot of time in this program to discuss that. And there's really so much to get one could discuss when in talking about abortion, and it is tragic. And please don't think that in all of what I'm saying, I think it is tragic that we are giving women the option to either unwittingly or through maybe being misinformed or even making a conscious choice to deliberately kill a child. But I don't want to totally dismiss that. You know, maybe the 16-year-old girl who finds out that she's pregnant and her parents would throw her out of the house if they find out that she's pregnant and her boyfriend is pressuring her to get an abortion. You know, I don't want to sit here and condemn that girl. I think it's sad that it's an option and that we have felt that it should be. Looks like we have a caller here. Let's bring you on. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show. How are you doing?
Hey, Chris, it's Barbara. How are you?
Barbara, how's it going?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to mention that we had last night on Women Patriots, we had a guest on, and he said that his mother was told to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was premature. I think he was like 5 or 6 weeks early. And he stayed in an incubator for the first 5 weeks of his life. But he's healthy, happy, and powerful. You know, these are issues that people don't think of. And then back when I was in high school, I had a friend who had an abortion.
Mm.
And she cannot have children. So her life was ruined.
That's pretty sad, and that definitely happens a lot too. You know, when they use those in those filthy facilities where they use the same instruments over and over again, and yeah, a lot of women come out unable to have kids. That is really sad.
Yeah, I mean she's 50 years old with no kids.
Wow, that definitely I can see. Hopefully she can experience some healing down the way here. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. We'll catch you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. So anyway, yes, we have, you know, and when we're talking about this, too, as I was saying before, I definitely can, I feel it's a terrible thing to have that option for that 16-year-old girl who is feeling pressure from her parents, from a boyfriend, who's trying to coerce her into having an abortion. And, you know, the fact that we offer, oh, you can just kill your child, that's not helping her. I'm talking about that girl. that young woman or older woman, whoever it might be, that is going to damage her as well. And as we just heard on this call, you know, a lot of there, it does happen where women go in for abortions and come out unable to have children because of something that went wrong with the procedure. And that is sad. And I know that, you know, there are many, many women out there who suffer from, you know, terrible emotional guilt. And it's, they call it post-traumatic stress disorder, post-abortion stress. And there are organizations that help with that. Project Rachel comes to mind. And there are people that, that deal with these poor women. And, you know, I'm not trying to excuse the fact that, you know, we allow this to happen in our country. But when you're in that situation, how can you make a rational, informed choice? I think it's, it is a very difficult issue. And, you know, the fact that we have our liberal feminists and the Democrat Party, the party of death, that is upholding this and championing it as a pillar of women's rights and a pillar of women's health. What does that have to do with healthy living? To be able to kill your child? What does that have to do with living a full and meaningful life? You know, when we do something like that. And the fact that there we have over 40 million dead babies and just as many or maybe not quite as many, who knows, however many women who have done that, who have had to live with that, you know, it's a terrible tragedy on both sides. I mean, oftentimes people classify pro-lifers as just being obsessed with the baby. And yeah, it is tragic that young life is snuffed out, unable to even be born. But then the things that these women go through and having to make this choice, so-called choice, something that shouldn't be a choice, but somehow legally is, you know, this is that, this is where it's, it has eroded our society. It has, it's this festering rot at the center of our nation. And it is tragic. It is terrible. And, you know, Planned Parenthood's here. All they do is pump out abortions. You know, you can check out their annual revenues and everything. Most of their money comes from abortion. They're plain and simple. I mean, President Obama tried to talk about Planned Parenthood performing, you know, much needed mammograms, which they don't, and it was proven multiple times. Yeah, they might refer to it, refer patients, but they don't perform the procedure there. Planned Parenthood is an abortion mill. That's what they do. That's where they get their money, aside from federal dollars. You know, and it's kind of funny, too, and this is from LifeSite News. The headline, Planned Parenthood quietly abandons the term pro-choice. Now, that's interesting. Why would they do that? It says that on January 9th, with carefully controlled fanfare, no press release, and hand-picked reporters – sounds mysterious, doesn't it? Planned Parenthood announced it was abandoning the term pro-choice. From BuzzFeed, pro-choice isn't as misleading, but it doesn't have the same strong ring to it as pro-life either. Planned Parenthood Executive Vice President Dawn Langwins spoke about the problematic use of choice at a press briefing Wednesday, explaining how women once had way fewer choices than they do today. Now, she said, maybe choice as word sounds frivolous. Now, that's just, they're trying to manipulate the language because pro-life sounds better and it rings better. Hi, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-choice. So they're saying that calling yourself pro-life has more of a, it has a stronger ring to it. Okay, now that's kind of interesting. So what she's saying is we need a better way to give choosing abortion a better ring. So it can have that little 15-second spot. Oh, get your abortion! Do-do-do-do-do! Or something. Don't hire me for that one, okay? And it also says that the pro-choice has been taking more and more of a beating in polls. This year, a record low 41% of Americans said they considered themselves pro-choice in Gallup's annual survey. Now, Planned Parenthood says it's not necessarily because people are abandoning abortion support. Oh, don't get it wrong. People still love abortion. It is because people are confused about the terminology, explains Jezebel. When Planned Parenthood polled Americans to figure out how they felt about the labels, the results were confusing because people found the labels confusing. For example, in one 2012 poll, 35% of voters who identified as pro-life also said they didn't think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. In another, 12% of online survey takers said they were both pro-life and pro-choice, while another 12% didn't want to use those terms, and 40% said it depends on the situation when asked about their moral opinions on abortion. So it seems kind of wishy-washy. So Planned Parenthood is looking to back out of the term choice. I don't know what they're going to say, anything else. But it's interesting, too. Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, said that we are moving away from using pro-life to anti-abortion or abortion abolitionist. Hey, I like that. An abortion abolitionist. That's really cool. And that's definitely appropriate language. Who's going to be an abortion abolitionist here? They don't want the word abortion to be used, and we want to keep putting it in their faces, added Hawkins. Anti-drunk driving groups aren't pro-sober driver groups. Anti-smoking groups are pro-clean air groups. It's an interesting bit, an abortion abolitionist. I think I'm gonna have to start calling myself that. That's a great terminology, great term here, and I think it's very, very fitting for what we're trying to do here. And as it showed too in those polls that there's a lot of different feelings about abortion, and there's lots of different circumstances under which they might think it's okay. But I think it's the fact that we feel that we can have this discussion. It's human life. And you know, what comes to mind, I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube. It's this video called 180 Degrees. And it is a man who goes out on the street. I think he's an evangelical Protestant, and he asks just random people, you know, he says, please finish this sentence. It's okay to kill a child in the womb when. So that came to mind when I read that. It depends on the situation. Okay, so there are times it's not okay to abort a child, and there are times it is okay, which means that looking deeper into that, overall, it's not morally clear-cut in that reading of it. It's either okay or it's not. This is one of those, at least in my mind, black and white areas. You know, one of those commandments, thou shalt not kill. Now we can, and there's lots of different aspects to that, but this is the deliberate taking of a life from the womb. So I ask that question, when is it okay to do that? Under what circumstances? Now, it's a very interesting thing to think about. If you have something to say about that, please call in at 718-305-7176. We're talking about abortion in America and how destructive it has been for our society, because it leads to the relegation of human life to something that is disposable. Basically, to put it in a nutshell, when we make human life disposable, we have abortion, we have abuse, we have people taking advantage of each other, and everything else. So I'm coming up on a break here, but when we come back, I want to keep talking about the pro-life issue, and I want to get into a controversial subject part of it that, you know, especially in the Christian community, it goes back and forth. So don't go away. We will definitely be back with more about the pro-life issue and why it's so important in America today. Back after this.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. We're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and we're talking about pro-life America, or hopefully pro-life America, in honor of the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. We got a lot coming up in this next hour, so stay tuned. If you want to be a part of the program, you can call in at 718-305-7176. Excuse me. Just getting over the thing that's been going around all over the place here. So, yes, sir, we have a lot to get to. Our chat room is hopping. Looks like we have a lot of good discussion going on in there. Guys, feel free to call in, all of you in the chat room there. Love to have you on the show. It has definitely been an action-packed week, and I've said that a couple times so far this show, and for good reason. It is we had Obama coronated once again as our ruler through executive order. We've had Martin Luther King. That was on the same day as Martin Luther King. We've had the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade on Tuesday, and this Friday we have the March for Life in D.C., so please say some prayers if you can't be there personally. Before we get into more of the pro-life issue, I want to take a step back and look at some of the news for this week. Just some interesting things here. We'll talk a little bit also about the inauguration and his speech. There's some things in there that I found, I'll say interesting, to be kind and fair and whatever that is. But anyways, all right. First things first here, and I found this interesting. From Fox News, unions suffer steep decline in membership. Really? I kind of like the sound of that. It says here, the nation's labor unions suffered sharp declines in membership last year, the Bureau of Labor Statistics said Wednesday, led by losses in the public sector as cash-strapped state and local governments laid off workers and, in some cases, limited collective bargaining rights. Oh, that's one of the holy grails for the unions, that collective bargaining right. Take that away, and you've seen some of the temper tantrums that those guys have. If they weren't so vicious and violent about it, it would be kind of funny. But we see what happens when unions get, you know, have anything but pay increases and benefit increases coming their way. They sound like pampered babies. So it's led by losses in the public sector as cash-strapped state and local governments laid off workers. So that whole taking out of the private sector to pay for government, it's starting to dwindle down. You know, I've seen the way some unions talk about these things. It seems like they think that whatever government agency it is, it's like this unlimited cash cow. It's just sitting, oh, it's the government. They got money. Well, guess what? Not anymore, it doesn't. The national debt's what? Over $16 trillion, and those Republicans just voted to raise it again this week. So congratulations. People can get their tax refunds, but the government's going to go further into debt. So good job, Republicans. Way to stand up for principle there. But we got the unions now are definitely they're seeing some people run away. It fell from 11.8% to 11.3% of all workers, the lowest level since the 1930s. Total membership fell by about 400,000 workers to 14.4 million. More than half the loss came from government workers. So they're leaving the unions because hopefully they see that the government is not some unlimited supply of cash, and that you know, they can just get in there and do whatever they want. We have a caller here. Let's get you on the air. Hi, thanks for calling the Warrior Catholic Show.
Hello?
You're on air,
Hello?
Sir.
Oh, hey, sorry. How's you guys' show doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering, Warrior Catholic is it? Are you guys like a high school football team, or like there's like Catholic schools and like a Warrior is very like popular for it? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Comment on, sir.
No, but seriously, why is one of your pictures remind me of Birth of a Nation?
Our show is the Warrior Catholic Show, and we're part of conservativenationradio.org.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, honestly. Honestly, I think that
your call, sir. Appreciate it. Anyways, so we're talking about unions and the fact that they've been dropping. They dropped a whole 5.5%, and that's very interesting. It shows that hopefully. I would like to see that. I would like to think that maybe people are seeing that the government isn't a cash cow and that it can't be. You know, we can't just keep raiding it because the government runs out of money, and then the Democrats come in and tell us, "Oh, we need to raise taxes. We don't have a spending problem. It's all about taxes. We need taxes." No. We have too much taxes already, Not enough spending cuts. What was it? $1 of cuts for every $44 of tax increases in that latest fiscal cliff debacle, in which the Republicans caved. They caved on the debt ceiling. Guys, don't put faith in this Republican leadership because they're going to keep caving. They're going to keep doing it. They're not going to stand up for anything. Because they're afraid of Obama. They're afraid of the Democrat Party. They're afraid to get called names. Because all the Democrats do is demonize them, and as soon as they do, the Republicans turn tail and run. That's what happens. And we're going to see it more now because they believe that Obama was just coronated king, and he can't be stopped. And you know, even with their caving, they're still going to get blamed for something. So just keep this in mind. I would encourage you don't count on the Republican leadership in the House, Boehner and all the rest, because, you know, nothing's going to happen. It's about banding together with fellow patriots, fellow conservatives who are going to raise our voices together and not count on somebody in D.C. We are the people. For too long, you know, this has been on my mind a little bit, and I will digress here, darn it. I think that on both sides of the aisle, we place so much faith and lean so hard on our candidates. As, you know, and as the campaign season wears on, you see the rhetoric hyping up. This person is going to come in and do everything, solve all the problems. We saw it about Mitt Romney. We saw it about Obama. And our faith, fellow patriots, shouldn't be in our candidates so much. Obviously, put our faith in God, but we are the people, you and me. We are the people. And the fact that the government was created for the people and by the people it's for us, not the guy sitting in Washington, not the guys who go in there. I mean, how many in Congress are multimillionaires? I personally could care less, but the left like to talk about all this class warfare stuff, but it's not for them. Sure, there are some great representatives in there, and I don't want you to misunderstand me here. There are some great representatives that are fighting for their constituents, but people are people. And, you know, we put them in Washington, but right now it seems to not be working very well. So we need to band together as fellow conservatives in order to be able to do this, to take back our country from what's going on here. And there's definitely a lot to do. So it's coming up, and we need to be able to band together as conservatives. And I love the Tea Party movement, because that's exactly what it was. It was a group of people saying, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. I don't want to listen to it. We are going to stand up to our government. And the Tea Party candidates in Congress are some of the best ones in there. And they're standing up for their principles. The Republican establishment hates conservatives. They hate conservatism, even though it was the Tea Party and fellow conservatives that handed them the 2010 midterm elections. But we'll let that – they want to let that, fall to the wayside. There's strength in conservatism, which is why we're all here. And Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, Ann Coulter, and Nikki Haley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So anyways, you're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org, and I'm just going through some of the news of the week here, things that I find interesting. Another little bit, and I'd love to hear from some of you who are out there who are in the military on this. This again is from Fox News, and it's Panetta to lift the ban on women in combat. Whoa, that's been a big debate for a while. Women in all branches of the military soon will have unprecedented opportunities to serve on the front lines of the nation's wars. Leon Panetta, in one of his last acts as President Obama's defense secretary, is preparing to announce the policy change, which would open hundreds of thousands of frontline positions and potentially elite commando jobs after more than a decade of war, the Pentagon confirmed Wednesday. Now, they're going to have until they're giving the military services until January of 2016 to seek special exceptions if they believe any positions must remain closed to women. Now, this policy change will initiate a process whereby the services will develop plans to implement the decision, which was made by the Secretary of Defense upon the recommendation of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, some frontline military roles could be open to women as soon as this year. Assessments for others, such as Special Operations Forces, including Navy SEALs and the Army's Delta Force, may take longer. A defense official told the Associated Press that the military chiefs must report back to Panetta with their initial implementation plans on May 15th. So, all you military vets, I want to hear what you have to say about this. I mean, it's been a hotly contested issue on women in combat. Should women be going on the front lines with a rifle in their shoulder? I mean, there are women in the military are doing plenty, have a strong presence in the military at this point. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. I was in the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps. And, I served alongside with many great female Marines. You know, in that service, it doesn't matter your skin color or your gender. You're a Marine. You got through basic. You can fire a weapon down range at 500 yards. You know, so you're a Marine. Sometimes I personally, on this issue, I get a little leery of, you know, well, we have women doing this. You know, it turns into a quota, you know, another affirmative action quota thing, and I don't like that. So I have to take a break real quick, but more on this when we come back. It's definitely interesting. So and I want to hear from you too, especially if you served in the military. Even if you didn't, you're allowed to have an opinion too. So don't go away. More on this when we come back. Thank you.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and apparently
the first three lights,
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you later
heard
tonight.
Last night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, on... look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hello, you're back. And I'm sorry. Those commercials are... They're talking about a serious topic, but I think they're hilarious the way they do it. No, everything's fine. And you hear her arms start creaking back into... Oh, it's fine. Oh, I feel so much better. Anyway, sorry about that. It is a serious topic, folks, but those are very effective ads because they're pretty funny at the same time. You are listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org, and I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, I would love to hear from you, 718-305-7176. And I just read a story about how Obama's outgoing Secretary of Defense, Panetta, is going to be allowing women a greater role in frontline combat military MOSs. MOS meaning military occupational specialty, or in plain English, your job. So, you know, it's an interesting topic, and I'm going to go there. I'm going to get in there. So I want to hear from you too, though. So please call in on this, 718-305-7176. When talking about the military and combat and the gender of who's doing what, I think it's important to consider how men and women are physically and psychologically, thrown there spiritually, made, okay? Now, God made us different. A lot of, you know, liberal feminists don't like that. They want to try to be like men. But unfortunately, our bodies are different, and that's the way we're made. Now, men have more upper body strength. I'm sorry. I'm not being sexist, but that's the way it is. But women have a much higher pain tolerance. You know, just a couple of little tidbits there. So what does that have to do with combat? Now, when we're sending people out to combat, it's a serious issue. Ah, we have a caller already. Let's bring you on the air. Hold on, working on unmuting you there. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show. Who's this?
Hi, Chris. This is Tom calling.
Hey, how are you?
And I'm fine, sir. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that think that the military, and I've never been in the military, that think that the military is basically a he-man, woman-hater club, and that women are kept out of the service for purposes of discriminating against them. That has nothing with it. Women are not in combat, and if you look all through the history, you see that they have almost never been in combat because females are too reproductively valuable to be put at risk. And if you also factor in, at least in my view, that the entire purpose of war is to reduce the number of males, you will understand why women have never been allowed in combat. There have been very rare exceptions all through the human race, but it is much more the exception than the rule, and it is normally based on absolute national need and on nothing else. And we do not have a national need to expose females to the obvious and inherent danger of combat and war. They are simply too valuable from a reproductive point of view to be risked. And on top of that, I've always believed that the whole reason that wars are fought is to reduce the number of males. And even though it is contrary to the interests of individual males, it is in the interests of the species as a whole for males to do that. And to the presumption is that if a whole bunch of males go into combat against each other, the lesser, weaker ones will be killed, and the strongest, fittest ones will survive. There will then be fewer males, but there will be better ones remaining. The males who remain will have a better, more favorable ratio of males to females for them than if there is no combat. This is one of the reasons why women hate war, because it reduces their reproductive choices and opportunities. Putting women in combat is a very, very, very bad idea from every imaginable point of view. At least that's the way I see it.
Well, thanks for your call, Tom. It's great to hear from you, and that's a very interesting viewpoint. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, as you heard it, that I have never really thought of it that way, but what I was thinking is, you know, you got to think of what's the point of a military, and that's to defend the nation, you know, and to have a force in readiness that can defend our interests, our American interests, either at home or abroad, in a combat situation, or just to provide military presence. The whole point of military is strength. Now, in the recent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, I've seen reports that women who somehow get close to the front lines or are involved in the fighting are much more susceptible to PTSD, to post-traumatic stress disorder, and they have many more severe cases of it than men. Yes, I'm not saying men don't get that, but women are much more psychologically susceptible to PTSD than men. Also, based on physical strength, you know, a man is much more capable of, I mean, has more ability to carry that heavy pack on his back, you know, for long periods of time, more physical endurance. That's the purpose of a military, and it really it makes me raise an eyebrow, at least, to say the least, when I see people trying to turn the military into a social experiment. Because, you know, when we turn – again, when it turns into a affirmative action, just looking at numbers, oh, we don't have enough women in the military. Hey, are you a woman? Go in the military. We dilute the readiness of the military – and we dilute the quality of soldiers, airmen, Marines, whatever. Now, I have served with some great women in the Marine Corps. I did a 6-week sergeant's leadership course, and one of the faculty advisors was a female gunnery sergeant. She kicked butt, you know, and it was great. And I had no problems following orders from her, and she was actually my faculty advisor. So, you know, she was awesome. But does that Does that mean everybody should be just pushed in the military for the sake of numbers? No. The military's there to be able to endure harsh physical conditions and overcome them. And statistically, men are going to have a stronger chance of doing that. You know, you see the physical fitness tests all across the board in the military. Men's physical fitness tests are always much more challenging. When I was in the Marine Corps, although I think they just changed it, women now have to do pull-ups. But for a long time, women didn't even have to do pull-ups. They had to do the flexed arm hang. You know, in the physical fitness test in the Marine Corps, if you wanted to max out your points, you had to do 20 dead hang pull-ups. Now, the women just had to hang on a bar. The run times were also different. If you want to max out your points on the 3-mile run in the Marine Corps, you would have to run 3 miles in 18 minutes. That's fast. That is insane. For women, it was 22, I believe. So women in combat is definitely, I think it is going to dilute our overall force effectiveness. And I'd love to hear what Carl Higbee would have to say about this too. Maybe someone can call in his show tomorrow. We'll talk more about that later. But again, if you have any comments on this, please call in at 718-305-7176. That was quite an eye-opening headline, in my opinion. So, you know, it's I hope that we have some deep and honest, you know, discussions about this, and instead of just trying to turn it into a numbers game. Are men and women, I believe in equality because God created us in his image, but we're different and we have different strengths and different capacities. And that's where our strengths are. If everyone was autonomous, well, for one thing, it'd be pretty boring, but another, it would, you know, we wouldn't get to do much. It wouldn't be very, we wouldn't be very effective in what we're doing here. So anyways, let's get in a couple more stories here before the bottom of the hour, and I have to take the next break. I wanted to talk about Obama's inauguration speech. He talked about global warming. Really? I'm calling it global warming. Climate change, global warming, climate change. That's such a stupid name. Hey, the climate's changing. Wow, really? But Barack Obama in his speech said, "We must respond to the threat of climate change, knowing that the failure to do so would betray our children and future generations." That's what is he talking about? I mean, in this piece on Believe It or Not, it's called themoralliberal.com. He's saying, to what climate change is Obama referring? Is it the now thoroughly debunked global warming hoax? I like this guy. Is it the climate change of the 11,500 years since the last ice age? Or is it the devastating impact of raging fires and crippling drought and more powerful storms to which Obama referred? So now doing something about climate change, global warming, we need to do that or we'll betray our children and future generations. Mr. President, sir, and I use the term loosely, what about robbing from our children and future generations' piggy bank? What about all this spending you've been doing where you are strapping debt on our children and grandchildren? $16 trillion and counting because we just raised the debt limit. Or do you not care about that, Mr. President? So now, in order to be true to our children and future generations, we need to do something about climate change, guys. Seriously, that's what he's worried about. That's what he's thinking about. Forget spending. Forget anything else. It's all about climate change. All right. Well, it's almost the bottom of the hour, and I'm going to have to take a break. But coming up in the next half hour, we're going to swing back into the pro-life issue, and I'm going to be getting – it's going to be controversial. I'm going to want to hear your opinions. We're going to be talking about contraception and exactly what the Catholic Church teaches about it and how it's related to the abortion mindset. So don't go away. That's coming up right after this. So, anyways, I'm sorry. I got a little tripped up here. Lost my place. But we are about to take a break. And like I said, if you're looking to hear some more controversial things, I will definitely be ready to do that for you. So don't go away right after this.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left the covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Hello, everyone. We are back, and this is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and if you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. You know, the Warrior Catholic Show has a Facebook page, too. You can go on there and look up the Warrior Catholic Show and click the like button, and I send out news links and all kinds of interesting things. So, you know, check that out. Also, if you want to get a hold of me personally, send me a message at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from people and hear what you have to say. If you have comments, suggestions, news, tips, anything, love to hear from you. So we're in this last half hour, we're bringing it back to the pro-life issue. And, you know, I've talked about the HHS mandate and how it forces Catholic institutions to provide abortion-inducing drugs and contraception. But now, especially with abortion on the, you know, at the forefront of this week with the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, I think it's time I get into contraception and talk a little bit about what the Church teaches about it and why contraception is linked to abortion and why it leads to abortion. And it's one of those it definitely there's a link there, and it's a I don't want to say cause and effect. But contraceptive use leads to the abortion mindset. So first off, let's talk a little bit about the history of contraception and what exactly what went on. So at one point up until the, I think, 1920s, 1930s, all of Christianity, all of it, all the Protestant denominations, all the major ones, they taught the that contraception was immoral, that it was wrong, and that it was something that was in contrast to God's design for marriage and for bringing children into the world. So even Martin Luther, he knew that the contraception, and this is from CatholicExchange.com, the title is How Can Protestant Churches Allow Contraception? Martin Luther says, how great, therefore, the wickedness of fallen human nature is. How many girls there are who prevent conception and kill and expel tender fetuses, although procreation is the work of God. Indeed, some spouses who marry and live together have various ends in mind, but rarely children. So that's coming from Martin Luther, the guy who started the whole Protestant Reformation. And it says here, and yet by the 1960s and 1970s, virtually all Protestant churches in America, as in Europe, embraced contraception and somewhat less frequently abortion as compatible with Christian ethics. Now, it started in the Church of England, the Anglicans. They were talking about they allowed it in grave circumstances. It always starts there. And, you know, we can throw out the slippery slope analogy again. But they said it's okay when, and it says here, in those cases where there is such a clearly felt moral obligation to limit or avoid parenthood, and where there is a morally sound reason for avoiding complete abstinence, other methods may be used, provided that this is done in the light of Christian principles. So, basically, it's saying a clearly felt moral obligation. Well, there's a lot of things that you can say about that, because our feelings aren't necessarily the epitome of moral guidance. Our conscience is, and a well-formed conscience in firm biblical church teaching. Now, because I feel something doesn't necessarily make it right. So we're going by our feelings here to say that, I can't be a parent at this point. And when there's morally sound reason for avoiding abstinence, although I don't know what to think about that one. What a morally sound reason for avoiding complete abstinence would be. I mean, I know married couples are called to join together. And that's the way, you know, God designed it. So anyways, if you have an opinion, please call in 718-305-7176. So when they did that in America, there was an immediate American Protestant echo. In 1931, the Committee on Home and Marriage of the Federal Council of Churches, an ecumenical body that embraced Methodist, Presbyterian, Congregational, and Church of the Brethren denominations, issued a statement defending family limitation and urging the repeal of laws prohibiting contraceptive education and sales. Now, it's interesting to see how it was a domino effect right across the board. So it's interesting to see why, though, and it even brings it up in this article, the weakness of natural reason confronting the spirit of the age. Yet these historical episodes still beg the question, why? The easiest answer might be to point to the multiple revolutions of the last 200 years, industrial, urban, scientific, and democratic, as creating an overwhelming pressure for accommodation and change, which no religious institution could stop. So everyone's going to do it anyway, so the churches might as well go along with it. There was one person that said, now hold on a second, we can't do that. His name is Pope Paul VI. And he came out with a prophetic encyclical called Humanae Vitae. And in the days leading up to it, there was much ado. You know, there was all this buzz. Oh, the church is finally going to allow contraception and get with the times. Forget that the church was nearly 2,000 years old and wasn't going to change its teachings for some, you know, just because of popular opinion. So it was prophetic, because he says that and this is from Father Peter West's blog. He says it was prophetic in that it predicted that the widespread use of contraception would lead to conjugal infidelity and the general lowering of morality. Since the birth control pill began to be sold in 1960, divorces have tripled. Births to unwed jumped from 224,000 to 1.7 million in 2007. Nearly 40% of babies born in the United States in 2007 were delivered by unwed mothers. So there we see, oh, there's all this contraception and abortion, but in 2007, nearly 40% of babies were born to unwed mothers. The number of abortions doubled. Cohabitation has increased from 430,000 to 4.85 million couples in 2005. Number two, the poll predicted man would lose respect for woman, considering her as a mere instrument of selfish enjoyment and no longer as his respected and beloved companion. The Playboy philosophy prevails today. Men often pressure their girlfriends or wives into abortions so they can remain sexually available to them. Today, 40% of children in the United States live in homes without their fathers. The Pope also prophesied that contraception would mislead human beings into thinking they had unlimited control over their own bodies. He was right. We've heard this one before. The most common form of contraception today is sterilization. People mutilate their bodies to control their fertility. In vitro fertilization, which involves the production, freezing, and experimenting of spare embryos, is commonplace. Human clones are created and then destroyed for spare parts. In December 2008, Montana became the third state to legalize physician-assisted suicide. Number four, and these are really important because it's happened already. Finally, Pope Paul VI predicted that the widespread acceptance of contraception would place a, quote, dangerous weapon in the hands of those public authorities who take no heed of moral exigencies. This has also proven true as governments like China have engaged in campaigns and programs of forced sterilization and abortion. So there's a lot to be said of the contraceptive mindset and how it can lead to abortion. And we'll get to that in just a sec. But in case you didn't know, conservativenationradio.org is now on the air at the same time, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. And like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher are still here with Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, it would be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So, we're talking about contraception here, and this is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. If you have a comment, please call in at 718-305-7176. This is a hot topic here. And there are lots of Catholics who disagree with the church teaching, mainly because they don't fully understand it, which I'm going to get to right now. I've gone over the predictions of Pope Pius VI of what would happen with the widespread use of contraception. And it has happened. But what does the church teach about marriage and the regulation of births? And this is from EWTN. Now, it says, what does the Catholic Church teach about parenthood? Marriage and conjugal love are by their nature ordained toward the begetting and education of children. Children are really the supreme gift of marriage and contribute very substantially to the welfare of their parents. The God himself who said, it is not good for man to be alone, and who made man free from the beginning male and female, wished to share with man a certain special participation in his own creative work. Thus he blessed male and female, saying, increase and multiply. So, that's very specific here. One of the most beautiful part of marriage is bringing children into the world, participating in God's creation. Now, the next question that a lot of people will say is, and it's a joke, Catholic families, you see, you know, the Catholic family at church, they've got 9 kids. Mom's got a baby, got a 3-year-old on her lap and trying to bounce a newborn. But does the church teach that a couple must have as many children as they physically can? No. Let me say that again in different words. The church does not teach that a couple should just have as many kids as they can. That is irresponsible. Then the church does not teach that. In decisions about family size, the married couple will, quote, thoughtfully take into account both their own welfare and that of their children, those already born and those which may be foreseen. For this accounting, they will reckon with both the material and the spiritual conditions of the times, as well as of their state in life. Finally, they will consult the interests of the family group, of temporal society, and of the church itself. Now, that might sound a little vague, but it's saying that you've got to be reasonable about it. But we can't be totally material. I mean, there are folks that wait until their late 30s to have kids because they didn't have an entire college education saved up. You know, life, God is letting us participate in the creative process. That's why artificial contraception is taught as being immoral by the church, because it's excluding God. We are playing God. We're saying that I'm going to take it into my own hands. Now, there are natural ways of trying to maybe avoid pregnancy for a time when a specific reason has been discerned. But when you take the artificial methods, hormonal or whatever, that is excluding God. And I always think to myself, you know, in today's day and age of, you know, going green and eating whole foods and grass-fed meat and everything else, we don't want to put all those processed things into our bodies. We have a pill that we give to women that puts hormones into her body that are in excess of what should already be there. Why is that all of a sudden okay? Because when you take God out of the matter and not allow him to create life when he sees fit as well, you know, we turn the marital act into something of a selfish thing. It doesn't turn into it turns into something that is not self-giving, but it is taking. Now, the church doesn't say, like I said before, it doesn't say that people should be popping out kids left and right. I mean, husbands and wives are meant to enjoy each other. It's supposed to be a beautiful thing, a good thing, but you know, at the same time, be open to life. Openness to life is the root of being pro-life. Just being open to it. And that, in turn, being pro-life, having that person-centered regard for the dignity of every human, that is the foundation of our moral society. Contraception leads to abortion because when you have contraception that fails, when it doesn't work, then pregnancy turns into a mistake. It turns into something that, you know, oh, now I've got to take care of it. Now I've got to do something about it. So it's not something that it doesn't lead to an overall appreciation for the value and dignity of life. When contraception fails, we need a backup. And there are many people that have used just abortion, you know, going in their 3 and 4 abortions because, you know, of whatever reasons. But contraception turns into a life, it can turn into an I want to do what I want to do, and not have to face the other consequences. But if the marital union is not self-giving, then the whole undercurrent is set for the contraceptive mindset. And that's really the heart of the matter here. Now, I know there's a lot of Protestant churches that teach it's okay to use artificial contraception, but the Catholic churches remain steadfast in it. It is immoral. And it takes the conjugal act and excludes God from it. Yes, married couples are supposed to enjoy their love and express that, but with God as a part of it, because he created it in the first place. If we're supposed to trust God with everything, and you can find that in the Bible, then why would we not trust him with our fertility? That's, you know, it boggles my mind, playing God. And I know this is a controversial topic. If you want to weigh in, please, 718-305-7176. And I'm not trying to sit here on my high horse. You know, I've tried to look into this a whole lot. I've tried to reconcile it and, you know, do a lot of research. I believe in the church's teachings. And that's what I'm just trying to present to you. I'm not coming to you as a saint. I'm a wretched sinner. But I trust the church and its teachings and why it says what it does. I mean, you heard the predictions of Pope Pius VI. You heard it. And it's happened. It's all happened. You know, the contraceptive mindset leads to abortion because the contraceptive mindset is still something that focuses inwards instead of outwards. So with that in mind, it's we cannot have one without the other. And any time where they say that, you know, increased access to contraception is going to lead to less abortion. Well, that's been proven wrong too, because when you have abortion, when you have contraceptive, and you need that backup, because contraception does not work all the time, the artificial kind, it doesn't always work, and the hormonal stuff can cause cancer. But they don't want that to get out either, because you're putting hormones in your body that aren't naturally produced. So even Pope John Paul II observed in Evangelium Vitae, the life which could result from a sexual encounter thus becomes an enemy to be avoided at all costs, and abortion becomes the only possible decisive response to failed contraception. So, you know, abortion's there to clean up the mess. It's there to, you know, make sure that, oh, well, we'll just get rid of this problem and go on with our lives. But everything in these issues, eventually, there's always going to be our own consciences that catch up with us. And they're there for a reason. That's why they're there. Our consciences tell us, they're our guidepost. So this whole issue of abortion and pro-life, you know, we can oppose abortion, but then to still accept contraception, it doesn't work because it is a contradiction. It is something that, you know, how can we oppose abortion but uphold contraception? What do you do when the contraception fails and you were trying to avoid that pregnancy, but now you are pregnant? Well, now you're gonna supposedly you won't want that child. So now those early abortion advocates there were saying, oh, it'll lead to less unwanted children. Well, what happens when you're in your contraceptive mindset and it fails and you have that unwanted child? Or when people use contraception to go out and engage in a lifestyle that is, frankly, not good, that is morally depraved, and that's what's being upheld today. But And that's why, I mean, that's why I see around me all these teenage girls and girls in their early 20s getting pregnant, sometimes having multiple kids from multiple fathers. But, you know, there isn't a deeper recognition of maybe something's not right here, because children have a right to be born into a solid home, into the care of a mother and a father, a married mother and father. Now there have always been things that happen where there have been crisis pregnancies throughout history, and we shouldn't shun these women. We shouldn't shun these people that this happens to, but I don't think we should be encouraging it either with shows like Teen Mom. It's the contraceptive mentality, that mindset, that leads to abortion and leads to the devaluation of human beings. So being pro-life is not just about being against abortion. Being pro-life is being pro-human. It's being pro-human in terms that God created us in his image. And because of that, you have a spark of the divine in you. And because of that, you are valuable and you are good and you are worthy of respect, of love, and the goodness that comes with being a child of God. And when I take from that, when I devalue you, or someone does that to you, then it is going against God's own image. You don't think God's not going to take care of his own? So using all these things, contraception and abortion, is a complete reversal of respect for life. And it is only when we can respect life and respect people for who they are and how they were made, then we can have a society that is morally sound with good laws that value the person. So I got about 5 minutes left here, and this has been a kind of a hot topic kind of night. We talked about abortion, we talked about women in the military serving in the front lines in combat, and I've seen the chat room has been hopping, and I like to see that. But before I close out, I want to tell you, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please tune in for Higby, Sound of Freedom with Higby and Resch. They are awesome, former Navy SEAL and Navy JAG officer. You know that they're going to have something to say, and hopefully the JAG officer can keep the Navy SEAL out of trouble there. But they're both great guys, and they have an awesome show. So tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, for The Sound of Freedom with Higby and Resch. And please call in and tell them what you think, too. And I mentioned before, but I'll mention again, the Warrior Catholic Show, we have a little show page on conservativenationradio.org. And I also have a Facebook page. And that is the Warrior Catholic Show. Please go to it. Click the like button. Check it out. I send out news updates, whatever little tidbits come along my way that I think are important. Share your opinions. If you need to get a hold of me, the host, Chris Ricketts, please send an email at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. And I really love hearing people's opinions. Even if you don't agree, I want to hear from you. If you have some points, if you think I was incorrect about something, please let me know. I do not claim to be perfect. The Warrior Catholic Show title isn't about me. I'm not the ultimate warrior Catholic. We Catholics, we're all members of the Church Militant, so we're all warrior Catholics, and we need to fight for truth, freedom, and justice, and all those good things. So I really enjoy getting this opportunity to chat with all of you once a week. And, the time sometimes drags by, and sometimes, I'm waiting for the next one, and sometimes it goes quickly. So every week I try to bring you a hard-hitting conservative news and commentary. And I'm also Catholic, and I'm not afraid to talk about the teachings of the church. So I'd love to hear from you again. And we're about to wrap up here, but, this Friday, say a special rosary, maybe do a little fasting, or because it is a day when we take to the streets and we protest and say, enough of this, of the slaughter of children, enough of the of what's been going on in our country. And I am so inspired by that. So join me in prayer, and I will keep you in my prayers as well. And I can't wait for next week when, I can come back and do another show. And until next time, I'll be thinking of you, and thank you so much. God bless, and